Welcome, everybody. This is the host crossover episode for Robots Radio for the summer of 2026. We had a ton of video game announcements just over the last few weeks. And gathering with me in our quarterly crossover episode, if you haven't listened to one of these, this is our opportunity to get a bunch of the hosts together and just kind of nerd out about stuff together as a podcast network. And if you haven't heard my voice before, I am Tom, or Robots. I'm the guy who started the network. I also host the Fallout Lorecast, the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, and Retro Recall. So you might know me from that stuff. But joining me this week and going up on all of their feeds will be this episode are some of our other hosts. And I'm just going to pass the baton to Sebastian. Sebastian, this is your first time joining us. Introduce yourself and how people might know you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sebastian Cloud. I do the One Piece Lorecast on Robots Radio. You may know me from that, but also I'm a professional wrestler in the UK, and I've been wrestling for 5 years up and down the country. So if you know me from wrestling, you know me from that. If not, the One Piece Lorecast.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. Also, don't piss him off. He will body slam you. So thanks for joining us, Sebastian. He's actually a super nice guy. I wouldn't be worried about that unless you are one of, I don't know. Are you a hero or a villain in the...
I am Sebastian Cloud, the puppet conductor, and I'm the villain of the ring.
All right. So, okay, he is a villain. So maybe he will body slam me. But thanks for joining us. And then Jeremy's joining us. Jeremy, welcome.
Hello. My name is Jeremy Geiser. You probably know me from Dungeons and Dipshits, the Fallout Lorecast, which is the more popular thing that I've been on. I go by Void over there.
Yeah, you're one of our patrons. So you join us for the patron chats every month.
Yes, I do. And then the newest addition to my repertoire is Tism Talks and Tism Moments, YouTube being the Tism Moments. So, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for joining us. And then Maverick. Maverick's back. How's it going, Maverick?
Hello, guys. I'm gone back to the Stone Age. I'm not in my comfy studio. I am Maverick Stone. I am 1/4 host of the little podcast called the Fallout Roundtable with our fourth year in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us again and making it work. I know you're in your truck. If people are listening on audio, they wouldn't have known unless you told them. You could tell them you were in a grand palace somewhere and they would just have to believe you.
Yeah,
but I'm in a truck.
Yeah, but also a long time ago, Three Count Thoughts was a thing, pro wrestling podcast, and the correct term for villain is a heel.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, you guys are going to have some stuff to talk about maybe after the show. Thanks for joining us, Maverick. And then Ben of Tamara or Brandon, whichever. I just call you Ben because that's how I've known you for so long now. But welcome back. You do a ton of stuff.
I do a ton of stuff. So I am Brandon, or also known as Ben of Tamaria. You might know me from all of the plethora of shows that I host, which are the Dragon Ball Lorecast, Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Gundam Lorecast, the Wizarding Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast.
Lots of stuff.
Sometimes I do stream on Twitch, still doing auditions for voiceover, so that's fun stuff. So
nice. Nice. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us. And then we also have Jessica Starr joining us. Jessica, welcome back.
Hey, so happy to join you guys again. I'm Jessica Starr. I'm coming to you from a fancy palace. You have to believe me. That's what Tom said.
Yes, believe me. It's absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's actually very pink. But I host the Starfield Lorecast, the Fallout feed, night of YouTube and Twitch and such.
So. Like Princess Peach's castle?
More of a mauve than a peach.
Oh, okay. A little more sophisticated than her. You guys have some beef about which is the better pink.
So we're gonna throw down.
I don't know, she's pretty tough. I'd watch out. But welcome everybody. And if you're wondering, you might be wondering, wait a minute, are there more shows than just this on the... Yes, there are. These are the hosts that are able to join us this quarter. We've been trying to do this quarterly, so sometimes you get certain hosts that pop in for certain ones than others. Also, you might be thinking, wait a minute, how did they get all involved in the network? And I'll just do a little advertisement here. If you want to join us, it's not that hard. Just go to the website robotsradio.net, check out the Rocket Club, and if you want to start a podcast, reach out. you can sign up. I can help you start your podcast, and then you can be one of us. So just wanted to put that out there, robotsradio.net, if you have any questions about that stuff, or just shoot me a note somewhere. I can always answer some questions. Happy to do that. But let's kick this off. There are a ton of games that have been announced just in like the last week and a half, or however long it's been. And there, like Ben, we were talking in the pre-show, there are at least three titles for things that you already do shows about, but we're going to take turns. Each person's going to mention one at a time, and then we're going to discuss it. And it's a pretty small cast, so feel free to share. Let's start it off. You share one of the ones you're interested in, and then we'll open it up to everybody to kind of chime in and either piggyback on top of it and say, like, yeah, I'm so excited for that reason, too. Or, I don't know, man. I'm kind of skeptical. We're going to see where this goes. But, Ben, what's your first pick?
I mean, I have to go with the, you know, the game of all games that was announced during Jeff Keighley's showcase, Final Fantasy VII Revelations.
Yeah.
We're finally getting the last part of the VII Remake trilogy story. Hamiguchi-san was literally the game director was after the presentation was in 30 interviews in 3 days.
That's a lot of interviews. Also, how many times have they tried to end the series at this point? Because every game is the final one, and then they just make more. That's a joke. No. That's a joke, just in case anybody didn't get the joke. Sorry, go on.
Everybody, go to my podcast. You'll learn the origins of Final Fantasy and why it's called that.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm super excited to see the final of the series. If you played the first two parts, and if you played the original VII, there are a lot of differences that happen, mm-hmm. and things that happen specifically a lot in Rebirth.
Like weird ghost things? Like, I've played some of these.
Yeah, there's like Dementor-like creatures that happen to be in the in this version of the games, and the you know, the main bad guy shows up almost at the get-go of the first game, when in the original VII, he came out after 30 hours of gameplay.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot. And it feels like it's an alternate timeline, too. It feels like and you're the expert spoilers on this. I've only dabbled in it. Well, I think this is, the other two games have been out for how long? Yeah, how long now? But also,
it's been out for three.
A lot of people have played the original one, or might have fond memories of it, or have even just watched videos because they happen to be Final Fantasy fans, but they never really played VII because it was that long ago. But it's pretty quickly evident if you're playing through even the first one. By the time you get to the end of the first one of the three remakes that they've divided it into, it's you start to go, wait a minute, this isn't exactly the same story. This is something's changed, right?
The key tones are there.
Right.
All the key points are still there, but they are coming into like different order or slight changes that are happening. If you play Rebirth, that's the one with the last one they did, has so much more differences compared to the original VII game that came out in 97.
Right. And just so people understand, that's the second of the three. So it's as if they've taken the original game and divided it up into three parts. So
yes. Is it Remake, Rebirth, and the new one's Revelation? Is that right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. They're just finally coming to Xbox, all of them. So yes. I'll be playing them now.
Remake and Rebirth are currently out on Xbox and Switch 2 now.
Yep, and that's fantastic. I loved the original so much. It wasn't my first Final Fantasy. The first Final Fantasy was my first. It was
mine
my
too.
Third,
no,
but it stuck with me.
Mine was the first. I thought you just said the first was your first, but mine was the
first. Was my first.
Yes, high five. Mine too.
And then FF3, aka FF6, was my second, and then FF7 was my third.
Yeah, I think I went through the same. Yes. Yep.
There we go.
Yeah. We're old. So anyway,
a feather.
In fact, Final Fantasy I is one of the games that we played on Retro Recall. I don't know if that episode's up yet. I don't think it is. I can look just in case. But if you're curious about my thoughts on Final Fantasy I, Retro Recall, we go back and play the old games. So did that one come out yet? No, not yet. No, not yet.
Oh,
all right.
So
that will be coming. Yeah, we try to record ahead a few weeks. So
I just replayed it in January when it came to Game Pass. So
Oh yeah, I forgot that a lot of the Pixel ones went to
all the Game Pixel Pass. Remasters month by month, each month of the year. Yep.
Yeah. And the first game, having just played through it again, it's like there's so much there that is in the series that is foundational for the series from the very first game in like 1987, which is crazy. But here, we're getting a little off topic. It's my fault. Ben, what specifically are you looking forward to in the final of these three games? What are your expectations?
The main thing that I'm super excited for is seeing the differences they're going to do, because they did say, Hamaguchi-san did say that there will be a lot of like choices that you'll make throughout the game that will change certain scenes, different dialogue, and a bunch of different stuff. So there's a lot of replayability there. He did confirm there is only one singular ending now. So even with all those choices, it still goes to the one ending everyone will get.
The final of the fantasies. Yes.
Yes. but yeah, I'm super pumped for that. And then during the deep dive of gameplay we got during Summer's Game Fest with it was surprisingly the new fit system, which is essentially a job system, which is awesome because Seven didn't have jobs at all.
Right. Yeah, each character was a little different and you had different like material loadouts you could do for each character, but it was very flexible, if I recall.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now it's going to have a lot more versatility and much more flexibility.
Right. Anybody else interested in the Final Fantasy remakes? Is this on anyone else's list?
Okay. I didn't know it was on Game Pass. I'm an Xbox player too, so I need to get on that now.
Yeah. Yeah. Go try that out. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't on my list, but I didn't know that it was on Game Pass. I'm focused on another game right now, but all right.
But hey, maybe one to pick up in the future. And Sebastian, were you going to say you were going to try this out too?
Yeah, it's. I've never got into the remake, so like obviously my namesake is based off Cloud from Final Fantasy VII. Uh-huh. So I played Final Fantasy VII as a kid, really loved it. I just can't get into the active combat style because I'm so hardwired to the turn-based combat of the original Seven, so I just can't get my head around going into that like action combat
phase. It does feel a little different. Yeah,
that's, and then you know we have Final Fantasy Resonance coming out this year, so that's a turn-based game.
Yeah it's back to it's more like the originals. Yeah,
but I like I like the story and I like where they've taken it. I think it's really cool that you know, they've taken a twist on the original instead of just hardcore remaking it. And I love that.
Yeah, it is nice to have a new reason to go back and to be like, okay, what did they change and why did they change it? You know, rather than just like, yep, I remember this story. Yep, same dialogue, you know, just prettier graphics or different combat. Yeah. Well, Ben, this is a good one to kick us off with. Let's move on to Jessica. Jessica, what is on your list? What is on the top of your list of things that are coming out?
Okay, I feel like I'm stealing everybody else's with this one, but we're going to stick with the Fs, and I'm going to go with Fable.
Fable,
oh my God. Not only my most anticipated of 2026, now my most anticipated of 2027, but after Starfield, my most anticipated game of the 2020s, you know?
Wow.
So many good games coming out, so many exciting things, but Fable, this series is in my top five all-time series, you know, right up there with Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Mass Effect, and Fable, and The Witcher.
But yeah.
It looks wonderful to have it coming back. Also, it's leading me into making the same mistake that I made when I was younger and possibly some listeners made too. So the first Fable, great. Fable 2, one of my favorites of all time. I bought the Fable 3 Collector's Edition, one of the few Collector's Editions I ever purchased. And at the time, I was majorly disappointed by that game. It was a bit of a letdown, Fable 3, compared to all the others because of the changes. Going back to it after I didn't have the expectations, it totally lived up. It was fine. It was a
really
good game.
Oh, that's interesting.
I am ponying up for this collector's edition for the new Fable game too. History repeats itself. It is time.
Oh,
it just looks so good. I'm excited. So Playground Games is making it. I'm sure everyone listening has been, you know, seen the trailers over time. There have been two major trailers. We just got a villain reveal. Mm-hmm. Haley Atwell playing the villain. That was an excellent little trailer at SGF or at the Xbox showcase. Really enjoyed that. And then they gave us a slice of life gameplay demonstration, about a 30-minute gameplay. I don't know if y'all have seen this, but it's up on, you know, most of the major game sites and on the Xbox site. And getting into the property management systems and relationship systems and reputation systems and all these systems they're bringing in to make what makes Fable Fable, in that you're telling your own story, you're telling your own fairy tale.
Yeah.
You know, it's got that fairy tale fantasy aspect. And just like we enjoy in a lot of Bethesda games where there are all these systems coming together in an open world, Fable does that too. Now, in the past, it's been within open regions and slightly different, but still the idea of multiple systems coming together that you kind of determine your own play and your own life. But this one, it feels like it's going to be much more, still regions, but larger, more open. So much happening. It looks cool. The characters are cool.
Yeah,
I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, the gameplay demo they showed, for anybody who isn't familiar with Fable, because you have to go back a little bit to get to Fable, right? Like Fable 1, 2, and 3 came out pretty close to each other 20-ish years ago.
The first one, it was 2001 or 2002, I think.
Yeah.
February with Morrowind. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then the other games came out like within just a few years of each other after that. And then Fable 3 didn't.
The last one was 2012. And well, then they did The Journey and then it went dead. They did Legends for 5 years and then Lionhead was closed before it came out.
Right. And you're right. Like, I remember picking up 3 after loving 2 and then being disappointed. I never finished it. I was like, it felt too much like they were trying to tell me how to play my story, whereas the others have felt so much more open. And I think
Fable 3 was more quest-based. It actually had, in some ways, some of the best writing and some of, you know, it had some really good quests, some of the peak quests in the series, and it had a really good through-line story, but it was rushed, and a lot of the regions were disconnected, because Fable, like I mentioned, is in regions, and there are like 7 to 9 regions, and some of them were just, felt like they were there because they had to be there.
Yeah.
They didn't get a chance to really flesh them out. And some of the things are like, oh, well, we had property ownership last time, we're going to do it again. Like, putting all these things in because they did it before, as opposed to because they wanted to. But kind of like New Vegas and stuff, this was at a time when people were on a bit of a rush development cycle. You know how these days development takes, you know, 4 or 5 years for most games. But in the 90s, 2000s, it had been 1 or 2 years. And so they had like 18 months to turn Fable 3 around.
Oh, which is around insane.
2012.
That's also maybe a year.
Right.
Some games were like 6 months.
Right. And so it was kind of on the edge of things needing to take longer and them not getting enough time. Fable 2 had several years, you know, and that it came out great. And then they're like, well, let's just iterate on that. But Molyneux, famous for, you know, promising quite a bit in his games, they tried to stuff too much in and it was less of an iteration, more of a whole new thing that didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
But still worth playing.
There are a lot of really good core ideas in those early Fable games. Little things like your decisions change your alignment, which became a Fallout thing with alignment in, you know, 3 in New Vegas. And then also like can change visuals. So like if you become more evil, you start to look more evil or you look nicer, which is something that made its way into the Renegade Paragon system of Mass Effect. Like there's a lot of that kind of role play stuff from that era that went on and influenced a bunch of games. And then since then, we haven't seen a whole lot of that anymore. It's like that was a trend for like 10 or 15 years. And then all of a sudden it just wasn't.
They did a lot of innovation. Absolutely. You know, reputation has become more, it's less binary. It used to be very much like good or evil, Paragon or Renegade,
right.
You know, same with Karma, you know, in New Vegas. But you had the thing like with New Vegas, some of the games, you have both reputation with factions and then Karma separate over top. That makes it a little bit more complex. But yeah, games have gotten away from that. They're like, everything is gray, which is cool. But sometimes, you know what? I just want my halo or my horns. Let me go.
Right. Yeah. Like sometimes I really want to lean into one of those sides and just see what the world becomes like. And in the trailer, I don't know if the rest of you watched the gameplay trailer, but they showed how you go into a little town, you talk to people, you start making decisions. Do you help the beggar? Do you give them some money? Do you talk to this merchant? How do you handle that relationship with that merchant? And then based on those decisions, you get these labels. And labels follow you around in that region because that's how people get to know who you are from your actions.
And it just looks so pretty. Does anyone else excited about Fable coming out? Have you played the others?
Yes, I'm excited. I am kind of sad that they're not bringing back the whole, well, you can't be truly evil or truly good kind of a thing like Fable 2 did. But they did show in the 30-minute gameplay that they released earlier this week, like, well, you could, and like, if you want to be a complete a-hole, you can just evict an entire town.
Yeah, you could murder everybody in the town, and then, yeah, so.
You could murder the people. Yeah. You could, like, buy all the property and just evict everyone and just own all the land just because. But I'm curious how this one's going to go. 2 was my favorite out of the original 3. 3 was just, I mean, it just felt like a standard RPG to me rather than Fable specifically.
Yeah, it did kind of, it traveled a little bit far from that core.
More, like, instead of being as niche as like Fable 1 and Fable 2 were, it went more broad, which I think that's kind of where, like, I don't know, the excitement of Fable kind of started dying a little bit. But with this one, we'll see. Regardless, I'm excited. I'm just happy the original creator came back to do Fable.
Yeah. There's that. Did Molyneux work on this?
No.
I thought he did.
He's working on Albion Online, totally separate, but there are some Lionhead people currently at Playground.
Is he at Albion Online? I know he released a game recently where you run a little village and you've got like a god hand kind of like Black and White.
Currently in beta. It's Albion Online, he's calling it, because, you know, the name Albion referring to England, it's not Fable specific, even though they call it in Fable.
Right. Yeah, Albion Online is a different game. Beta. That's an online.
I'm using the wrong title, Masters of Albion. I apologize.
Of Albion. Right, because it's the same word Albion. I was like, wait, that sounds close, but I feel like Albion Online is like an MMO style game, sort of like top down view. Yeah, Masters of Albion. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Sebastian, you look like you had some thoughts on it.
It's one of those games, again, I've never played it, and I feel like I'm going to say this for a lot of these games, because I was predominantly PlayStation growing up. So I think Fable was locked behind the Xbox, if I'm right in saying that.
That sounds right.
So I never got to play, but everybody, like in high school, they were always telling me, like, it's amazing, you've got to play it. And I think, is it coming to the Switch 2 as well, on availability-wise?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I don't know that it's launched. No, there.
It's just PlayStation and Xbox and PC.
Awesome. It did. I find it interesting, Sebastian, that you voice acted in the game and yet you didn't actually ever play any of them.
I know. I'm sorry. I've let the team down.
You are the baker, aren't you?
I mean, Fable is a very British, very UK kind of like title for sure.
I'm actually 90% of the characters. So, you know, I just turn up, I record, I go home, and hopefully they'll send me a copy. But if it's out on the PlayStation, I'm definitely going to give it a go, because it's one of those games that it's, like, even from what people told me, like the marriage system, the children, the, like, renting houses out to make cash, and it's all that kind of stuff's really exciting to me, because it kind of feels like the stuff I played a lot of Fallout and Skyrim, and it has all the things that those games feel to miss. Or they've missed out on, and Fable has it all, and I'm very much looking forward to giving it a go and diving into it, definitely.
Yeah, it's a good series, and I'm excited. Like, they've been rolling out little previews and things, but this is the first time they showed like gameplay, and I'm glad that the gameplay looks like legit. You know, like, okay, yeah, walk in a village, do some things, people have opinions about you, they say things as you walk by. Okay, this feels like Fable, you know. So, all right, any other thoughts on this one, Jess, or ready to move on?
No, I'm curious what you are.
Okay,
I'm excited about.
Yeah, I guess I'll go next, because I'm next on our little order thing. But hey, this might be a surprise. They announced, the announcement was a surprise. They announced Guild Wars 3 that they're currently working on, right? And the Guild Wars series has been around a long time. They just remastered the original Guild Wars. Guild Wars 2 has been an MMO for like over a decade now. I've never gotten to max level in Guild Wars 2. I've started over characters. I'll play for a few weeks and then I'll just kind of go on and do something else. But there's a part of like deep down inside of me that appreciates MMOs for the attempt. Let me call it that. You know, like, obviously I do an Elder Scrolls show, I do a Fallout show. So I jump into Fallout 76, which is MMO adjacent, and Elder Scrolls Online absolutely is an MMO. And I jump in and out of those games pretty regularly, but usually because I'm more interested in what are they doing with the story? What's the new zone look like? You know, that kind of stuff. You know, they introduced new enemies. Let's go see what this is. Oh, some new items I can collect. Let's find those and see how they feel. Like that sort of thing. And that typically has been my process for playing MMO-like games. I don't happen to have a very addictive personality. I'm not the kind of person who, you know, like my wife and I have been playing World of Warcraft again because I just wanted to see what Midnight was like. And I've got a character that's pretty geared out pretty well. And I've spent spent an hour or two a night just kind of, we'll both play together and just kind of see what's there. But does that mean I'm going to re-up my subscription next month? Maybe not. You know, like, I don't need to rent raid end game content with other people to feel like I've gotten my fill of whatever's there and then come back later when there's new stuff to see. So that's my caveat to start out the conversation about Guild Wars 3. But Guild Wars, the studio behind Guild Wars, ArenaNet, I believe is their name, have done a great job building out a really interesting world and fun mechanics. And they've shown that they can, they're one of the big MMO players that's been able to keep a game going over the years. And I think there's probably something there. The other thing is that they've continued to support original Guild Wars, and they're going to continue to support Guild Wars 2, and then now they're just adding a 3. So it's kind of like adding in World of Warcraft Classic while you're still doing retail. You know, it's, and I think that there's, like, I think that's a really cool idea, because maybe those other titles evolve in other interesting ways and they're still being funded, and that's great. So you can always go back and play them. It doesn't mean that they're lesser valued. And I think this is something, this is like a conceptual thing, but I think it's something we're seeing in data around the way people play with games, is that many of us, most of us actually, are going back and playing older games. And there was a time, speaking as an old guy, 20 years ago, where it was like, if it was the older game in the series, it felt less valuable, because the jumps in tech and storytelling ability and combat feel and those kinds of things progressed so quickly over the first few decades of video games that the older titles felt old. But I feel like we're at a point now where it's like the old titles still feel great, so they're still there, but also the studios have learned a ton from them, which means that maybe we'll get something really new and interesting in Guild Wars 3 in an MMO that we've never seen before. And so for me, it's that wonder of like, what does a studio so vested in this, so doing such a good job, what do they bring? Or if we were able to see the Elder Scrolls, ZeniMax team were working on an MMO and had worked on it for 7 years and then Microsoft ended it, what would have that have been? Like, that's a veteran team learning from years and years of stuff to make a brand new thing. And like, I have no idea what that's going to be. So at least we're going to get to see something kind of like that in Guild Wars 3. So that's my perspective on it. Jess, are you kind of reacted? Are you excited about Guild Wars 3?
Yeah, I played a lot of Guild Wars 2. I didn't play the first. Guild Wars 2, I went in as Sylvanas. No, that's Dragonlance. Silvari. I had a Silvari character.
The plant people.
But I played through up to level 60. Yeah. So
plant
I played
elves.
The initial release and a little beyond. Got into some of the endgame content, like the first year or two. But moved on from it. You know, that was around the time, shortly before 76 came out. So, you know, new addiction.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody who doesn't know, just plays a lot of Fallout and Elder Scrolls, a lot of Bethesda stuff too, Starfield. What about the rest of you guys? Have you guys played Guild Wars? Are you into Guild Wars? Jeremy's shaking his head. Sebastian's shaking his head. Ben?
I've tried Guild Wars 2 like a year ago. I think when you said something about it and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I was like, I play a lot of MMOs. I mean, I'm Final Fantasy for crying out. I play so much 14.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Play a lot of 14. I have a free company and everything and all that stuff. So, I might try this out since it's also coming to console.
Yes.
It's coming to PS5, which is really cool, seeing this Guild Wars actually going away, not just having PC, going to actual other platforms as well, which is nice.
Which to jump in on top of that real quick, means that they're developing it from the ground up to be console focused, which means that playing it with a controller isn't going to feel awkward like translating a PC game onto console. It should feel more natural.
Yeah, I think that's what drove me away from Guild Wars 2. I'm not used to mouse and keyboard. I'm always like a controller based person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was just really weird. The only game I play on PC that is mouse and keyboard is Star Wars: Old Republic. So
yeah. But yeah, it has more in common with Star Wars.
15 years.
Yeah, it has more in common with Star Wars: Old Republic than it does I don't know, playing Final Fantasy 14 on a console, because the button mapping for 14 is actually, they did it pretty well. Like there's lots of buttons, but it translates over pretty well. Yeah. Maverick, did you play Guild Wars?
No. I was as the, probably the youngest guy here. No.
I don't know. No, I think Jeremy might be younger than you. I think we'll do a measuring contest later where we'll measure our longevity over our lifespans, or we could just use the word age. But
age. Yes. No, I never really got. I mean, besides Fallout, which I do a show on it, but I'm free time. No, I never really got into Guild Wars. I actually never knew. I guess I'm not as big of a gamer as I thought I was.
I guess not. Yeah, you mentioned one title, and yeah, I guess not. Got to take your gaming credential card.
MMOs are their own thing, Maverick. So totally understand if you don't play them.
Yeah.
No, not. So well, yeah, no.
Yeah, so anyway, that's my perspective on it. And I'm assuming that 3 is going to be even easier to just kind of get into than 2 is. Or I guess the flip side of that is getting into an MMO that's been around for over a decade is really hard because it's like there's so many systems. And even if you're just starting at the beginning of the tutorial stuff, it just feels like there's just so much you don't know. And that can be daunting. So to get like on the bleeding edge of a brand new one is kind of exciting because you can just kind of learn it as it goes. If you want,
that would be a fun crossover episode someday, Tom. Just talking MMOs, get a bunch of us together who played MMOs, like kind of ranking and evaluating them, like Star Trek Online, better than Guild Wars, better than LOTRO, it's better than WoW. I'm just curious.
Yeah. I've tossed a.
That's not my order.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 14 is at the top. So
clearly, I've tossed around the idea of doing a RPG focused like news show, which would be a blend of like different people. Like the hosts would be maybe you have a panel of 4 hosts and some hosts have more of like single player story RPG background and other hosts are a little bit more on the MMO side or a little bit more on the CRPG side or whatever. And then you can have conversations like that all the time. I don't know if there's enough of an audience there for that, but it's one of those, like, it doesn't exist as far as I know. And it would be really cool to have something like that. So just an idea, throw it out there. But I feel like there's something universal about just being a human being in the 21st century and struggling with weight. I know it's something that I've had to deal with, and I go in and out of exercising more and having a better diet, and then I ruin it by eating more pizza and tacos and whatever else. And I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. And diet and exercise are great, but sometimes you need a little bit more. You can lose 20% more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise with Wegovy at Hims. It regulates your appetite so you eat less, and Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there's no needles. You can get everything through Hims, so it all happens online. You'll be connected with a licensed provider who helps determine if this is the right treatment for you, and if you're prescribed, your medication is delivered directly to your front door. No insurance is necessary. There's a range of GLP-1 options, and they give you a lot of extra support with 24/7 messaging, team care, in-app lifestyle and nutrition support, recipes and meal plans. They're not just going to sell you the product. They're going to support you and make sure that you do what is right for you. So are you ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/falloutlore to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/falloutlore. hims.com/falloutlore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit hims.com. All right, let's move on to Sebastian. Sebastian, which of these summer games that have been announced recently are you most interested in?
I don't know if it's a cliche, but the GOAT itself, the remake of The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, I am so excited for this. And just the drop and how it was like introduced, the aesthetics look amazing. And remaking, possibly, I will argue to the death on this, one of the best games ever made, and bringing it back in full glory. And obviously it's only going to be locked to the Switch 2, which I'm excited about because I work nights most of the time and that's where I play most of my games now, on the Switch 2. So if it's on there, I'm all over it. But yeah, just the nostalgia, and I'm probably classed as one of those nostalgia gamers where I mainly play the older games I played as a kid because the Nintendo 64 was my first ever console. So playing Legend of Zelda was that, and obviously Majora's Mask, and I hope that gets its own remake, and even if they remake the Hero of Time trilogy kind of thing with, Twilight Princess as well. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm really excited about The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. That has got me so hyped up, and I am going to lose myself for a foreseeable amount of time chasing down new high-definition creepy scooters and being terrified because I'm horrified of spiders. But yeah, no, that is my pick for the games that have been announced of late, and I'm so excited about that.
Nice.
And I assume everybody else is. You have to be, right?
I assume somebody was going to bring this one up. I saw this and I was like, okay, somebody's going to mention this one. But for your perspective, what are your hopes? What are your expectations for this? Do you think it's going to be basically beat for beat the same? Like we already talked about remaking Final Fantasy VII. Is it going to be the same as the original, just with better graphics? Or do you think they're going to take some liberties and like flesh out the world a little bit more? Like, what do you expect?
I would love to see some of the aspects of Tears of the Kingdom and the newer Zelda games brought into it. So like climbing, jumping, and making the world a little bit more traversable. Instead of it's because the story of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time is quite lineal. It does have side quests and it's got its things to do, but I think if they can pack that up a bit, and I think they will, they'll put some more things into the world to do, because they are going to expand it compared to, if you look at the size of the map back in the day, I think they're going to flood out the map with a lot more side quests, maybe expand on some of the actual lore of The Legend of Zelda in that time period. I don't know if you've got anyone doing a Legend of Zelda lore cast, but if if anyone wants to join in.
there was a show on the network and they left a while back. You can still go listen to that show. So yeah, Legend of Zelda lore cast, if anybody's looking for that. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just think flushing out the there's a lot of almost loose ends and stuff like that people may want to dive into a little bit more, but I think the main narrative, and obviously maybe nuke the water temple, let's just get rid of that. Nobody needs right? that kind of negativity in their life.
Here with the changes to mechanics to climb and do other things, do you think they will rebuild different parts of each of the temples or dungeons or whatever in order to facilitate that?
I think they'll have to. I think they will change it up a little bit, and I think there'll be people that will get upset about it, because there is with the remake, like I said about Final Fantasy VII, the remake, it's not my cup of tea because of the combat system. There'll be stuff that is added to it that people probably won't like, but I think it's that coveted of a game and that legendary of status that a fresh aspect to it will be like so needed, because everyone's played it 1,000 times. I've got it on 64. I've got it on the 3DS.
Right,
I've got it on every flavor I can play it on. And it's like, how can we change my experience? How can I make my experience better? And I think by integrating some of the newer aspects, they can really make this the definitive best game ever created. Because it already has that title in my eyes.
right.
I don't know where it is on the rating board, but I think it's definitely up there.
When you look at the best games list, it's definitely one of the games that's pretty high up on that list, usually universally. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's already up there. And I mean, obviously, I hope they bring out Majora's Mask, because that is my favorite of the two, purely because of the darker tones in Majora's Mask.
It's weird. It's weird. Yeah.
It's great. It's so cool. And I love the mask, the time system. And I don't know how many games around that time were introducing like a time loop. Because it was probably one of the first ones that we actually saw that fully went into that.
Right. Did you know originally, I've actually watched some videos on this recently. Did you know originally that a 3-day loop in Ocarina of Time? Originally, they were trying to do 7-day loops, but they realized that was so long that people would lose track of how many days had passed. So they reduced it to 3, but
I'm going to say that would have gone crazy.
Yeah.
That would have gone so crazy with all the things going on.
Right.
But the game would have ended up massive, because like you've got these encounters on certain days and certain times. If you're waiting for Friday and you just go back to Monday, it's going to be crazy. But no, that is my pick. And has anyone got anything else they want to bring to about
Legend of Zelda? I saw Jeremy, you were nodding. Was this on your list?
This was on my list. I actually had to delete it from my list because he said something, and I kind of figured he was going to, considering he's got Majora's Mask on his hand.
Right. Yes, he has a tattoo.
But which I love that, by the way. That's beautiful. But no, I think this, I never really played the Zelda games, but I think this one's going to make me play the Zelda games.
Oh, interesting. The older ones. Oh, that's completely the opposite of what I thought you were going to say. This is a game that I played when I was little.
I never played any of the Zelda games. but I had a buddy in high school who was really into them, and he would be playing the Majora's Mask on an emulator like all day long in the middle of class, and like kind of got me into it then. But I, since then, I've never really played it, but I think now this might even make me get a Switch too.
Yeah. So what is it about this one that makes you go, okay, this is my entry into the series?
It's an old game being brought to modern specifications.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just another Skyrim. Okay, we're just porting it into this new console.
Right.
It's a complete remake of the game, kind of like how Oblivion was.
Well, Oblivion still has the same guts inside. The visuals are completely remade, mm-hmm. but the actual systems, and don't worry, all of this stuff is very confusing for everybody. So, but being an Elder Scrolls guy, got to just put it out on the record. The internal guts of like the way the quest lines play out, the dialogue, in fact, most of the dialogue hasn't been changed, although some of it has. But it, for the most part, it's the visuals that are changed in Oblivion in the remaster. So, but you're saying this is going to be like a much more, I don't know, a thorough remaking of the game?
Yeah, it seems like it. Because it's not just, from what I remember, it's not just the 5-polygon Link.
Right.
It's more of a, like, the entire world is more fleshed out. Mm-hmm. It's not just that within those polygons, that texture there is higher definition.
Right. Interesting. Oh, that's cool. I thought you were going to be like, oh yeah, no, this is one of my favorite games. But from your perspective of like, nope, I haven't played it, but absolutely want to give it a shot. Very, very interesting. Anyone else on board for Zelda?
I was just going to say a quick way. I'm gutted because I can hear everybody else except Jeremy. So I heard none of that.
That's weird. That's so weird.
Devastating. I can hear everybody else except you. And I'm sorry. I was just watching you and all I can hear is Tom something about his tattoo. And
yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't.
No, he mentioned you must be a fan because of your tattoo. But he was saying he hasn't played them before, but he's interested. As you heard my side of the conversation, that is so weird. We're on Zoom, and
second person it's happened to.
Right, now. Right. I don't know. I don't because everyone else can hear you. Right, everyone else can hear Jeremy.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Coming through on my side. All right. Anybody else?
Absolutely nothing. And I'm sorry, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, anybody else want to talk Zelda stuff?
Nothing yeah, else? I mean, I can testify that, yes, people are buying Switch 2s because of the Cine Game announcement.
Because you work at a GameStop. So just for anybody who doesn't know. So you've seen an uptick in sales because of the announcement?
Yes.
That's really interesting.
I've totally seen an uptick. I mean, when the Switch 2 came out, there was a lot of people, and I've had customers and guests coming to my store that say, oh, I'll wait till X, Y, and Z comes out, like Pokemon Wind Waves, which comes out next year. When that was announced, people were like, all right, cool. Now I have to get a Switch 2 because there's a specific game series I play, but it's only on Switch 2, not on Switch 1 anymore. And then, with Zelda being one of those titles now, absolutely.
Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah. Well, go pick up a Switch 2 soon because technology is not getting cheaper. I'll tell you that.
No, prices are going up $50 in September. So yeah. Go get one.
Go buy them now. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if a year from now they're up. Like memory costs, it has to do with AI and all of this stuff. But they're making a lot of things with the same tech that would go into consoles and PCs and things like that. So go get them now if you don't want to pay twice as much in a few years. Anyway. Sorry to doom the conversation a little bit. Sebastian, any other, or I'm sorry. You were up. Jeremy's next. I'm getting confused. Anything else about Zelda?
No, I'm just excited and I'm going to say a massive sorry because I know Jeremy's coming up next and he's going to be telling us an epic game and I'm
so we'll translate for you.
Hear about it. So can we get subtitles on this?
I don't think they're an option, but I'll reiterate briefly what he says. Stay tuned. We'll fill you in. Jeremy, what game do you want to bring up?
So it's not on the list that you sent.
Okay. So just so anybody knows, I just took this big long list on polygon.com and I was like, guys, here's a bunch of the games that were announced, assuming that they put every game that was announced, but obviously they missed something. What did they miss?
So this game has been out announced for a while and it's going, and I think it's been in early access for a little bit, but it's called Dino Blade.
Okay.
It Dino is Blade. Basically I want to say Elden Ring, but it's like a Dark Souls dinosaur game.
Okay, yes, I know what this is.
Dinosaurus with the Buster Sword.
Oh my God! Okay, so can I give a quick description for people who don't know what Dino Blade is?
Go for it.
All right, so if you've played any of the Dark Souls games and fought a wolf holding a sword, replace the wolf with a dinosaur, and this is that's basically the whole game, right? Is that your dinosaurs that are fighting?
Yep.
What's really funny about this is the guy that originally did a CG animation of a Spinosaurus with the Buster Sword, and it got so popular, they were like, all right, cool, we're going to make a game out of this.
Yeah.
It was just a literal meme thing that he just made.
And now it's on the internet. And now it's real.
People went crazy for it.
Yeah. And now it is going to be released at the end of July of this year.
Yeah, I'm watching the gameplay on Steam right now, and it is basically Elden Ring or Dark Souls combat, but you yourself are a dinosaur holding a weapon in your mouth, fighting other dinosaurs holding weapons in their mouths. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I want to be a Velociraptor, absolutely.
Oh, this one has like a sword with sparks.
Yeah. I think you are locked
I saw a clip of it where it was like the combat actions of Dante from Devil May Cry, and they had Ebony and Ivory in this little T-Rex's hand shooting Ebony and Ivory.
Oh,
it was tremendous, honestly.
Oh, that's amazing. You're
locked to a young Spinosaurus as your character.
So that's your character, but everyone else can be other dinos, like, including some big ones. And
Yeah.
Oh, man. I saw something about this. It must have been a while ago, and I totally forgot that this existed until you just brought it up. Okay, so are you a Souls guy? Are you a...
No.
No.
Nope.
You're a dinosaur guy?
It's just... sorry for the language. It's just fucking cool.
Okay. All right.
I want to be a Spinosaurus blasting 3 days grace holding the Buster Sword, man.
That's hilarious. Anybody
There's
else?
A demo.
Oh, is there a demo that you can
There's
download?
There's a demo you can play.
That's amazing. Anyone else have any thoughts or questions about this? Because I'm just
I didn't know the origin story of it, knowing that it was kind of like a Think Geek April Fool's kind of deal where they did it as a joke and then someone's like, this is so cool, we need to make it happen. That's great. That's really cool.
Yeah. Here's the description. Dino Blade is an intense action RPG set in a prehistoric world forever changed by a cataclysmic event, one that redefined the very nature of dinosaurs. Step into the role of young Spinosaurus, wielding a colossal greatsword forged from ancient power. This is great. Confront rival dinosaurs, some armed with brutal weapons of their own, all in a desperate fight to prevent a looming extinction. Oh, you got to fight against the dinosaur extinction too.
Jeremy's was going to be epic, and it was.
This one is epic.
It is pretty epic. I do agree. Yes,
I'm devastated.
This is just reminding me of Berserk. The
Buster Sword. Yeah, it's pretty much the Buster Sword from Berserk.
Sometimes he drops the sword and he just like chomps the enemy. There's stuff going on here. Wow.
I'm sure there was a game about crabs that was similar to this. I don't know if I saw it online.
It was like, giant crabs.
Yeah, is that the one? Yes.
That's amazing.
That had to come from a meme too, the one of the crab holding the knife or something.
Or is it another crab's treasure? Is the Souls like one, probably, that you're thinking of, maybe.
I just
remember seeing these crabs just like
multiple knives. Crab games.
Everything evolves eventually into a crab game.
Yeah.
That's an evolution joke.
Yep.
Jeremy, any other thoughts about Dino Blade before we move on to Maverick?
Nope, you can go right ahead.
This is great. I'm glad you put this on my list because now I'm definitely interested. A release date, July 23rd, 2026. So very soon. Hopefully it gets good reviews. Hopefully it's awesome. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maverick, I think you're wrapping this up. We've gone on pretty long with each of our suggestions, and I don't want to keep everyone too long, but what is your, maybe best for last, what is your game suggestion?
Yeah, maybe mine best for last. Made in my list, and I'm surprised nobody else has said this, is Star Wars Zero Company.
Yes. Okay.
Good Star choice. Wars. Star Wars.
That was going to be my second choice if we're going to do another round of this, but all right.
Yeah. Is this the one that's kind of like XCOM, but it's Star Wars?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can, from what I recall, now correct me if I'm wrong and fill in some details, you can build a squad, and you can build a squad out of lots of different types of people. So you could have like a Mandalorian and a Jedi and some weird alien with a, you know, weird face. And I don't know all this. I like Star Wars, but I'm not super deep in the lore. Am I right? Is that what this is?
Yeah. 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 It's a turn-based game. It's that, man, I'm just blanking now. I had this all.
RPG.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you position your guys and like this guy's hiding behind a box and this other person's going to go over here and stand next to the door and peek through the doorway and shoot at the enemy. And then there's basically dice rolls for like, does the hit land? And then the enemies move and the things blow up. That's that sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. So are you into this because Star Wars primarily, or are you into this because tactics game or both?
I'm into this because Star Wars game.
Okay, so that's the main draw. Now, do you like tactics games also?
I it depends on the game, to be honest.
All right.
I don't play a whole lot of tactics games. I play more open world games, you know, like Subnautica 2, GTA.
Fallout. You're into Fallout. You do a Fallout show. Right. Right. Okay, so what is it about this that, other than just being Star Wars, that draws you? That makes you go, this is cool.
What draws me in is it's sort of like a different type of Star Wars game that I feel like the community's used to, because a lot of Star Wars games are more like Knights of the Old Republic, Battlefront 2, then the new EA game Battlefront. It's just a lot of combat that's more open. Where this is more turn-based tactics, where you have time to process everything, mm-hmm. I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I know I'm missing a ton of Star Wars games. I play a ton of Star Wars games.
It's fine. Yeah.
Fallout games or Ace Combat, but I'm really looking forward to this one compared to I'm also looking forward to the other Star Wars game that's coming out this year.
Racing one?
Yes.
Galactic Racer.
Galactic Racer. I love, yeah. But.
Yeah, I think both of these are going to be fun. Ben, you do a Star Wars show. I would be.
For a future episode of Holocron Histories where.
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't get your opinions on these games. What do you think?
We'll have a deep dive episode here in like the next couple of weeks of going over Zero Company because they put out a lot of info. But yeah, I love XCOM. XCOM 1 and 2 is great. I love what they did with those games. And funny enough, like the most used mods on XCOM 2 is Star Wars mods.
Mm-hmm.
And what was
just like on Starfield.
Yeah, funny enough. Starfield.
Which is like, LucasArts, you might want to look at mods. Might want to look at those before you do the next game. But no, it was really funny because there was an interview somewhere, or I might have been at the Game Awards, Summer's Game Fest, where it was like, oh, we never, like, who would have thought these two, tactics-based, like, XCOM and Star Wars mixed together, who thought it would be a great idea? And it's like, first off, the entire community of these games.
Right. That seems pretty obvious.
You guys were, like, looking at this. But no, I'm super excited for it because it's fully customizable. If you start the game, you play as your own unique character that you can fully customize. You get a whole new squad. You can recruit characters that you can fully customize. You'll have droids you can use.
Yeah, all droid squad for the win.
You can do all droid squad. Funny enough, BitReactor is the developer of the game. They made Marvel Midnight Suns, if you ever play any of that mm-hmm. game. Mm-hmm. And it's a bunch of former XCOM devs, as well as like EA, Star Wars devs, and a bunch of other people. And the game director specifically says, like, I wanted a game in Star Wars where I can make my own squad or team to where I would want to be anything. Because he played the original Final Fantasy and did an all-white mage team.
Yeah, right.
All four of them being white mages, yeah. Which is very hard if anybody has tried to do it. It is difficult because they don't really, you don't have attack spells.
Yeah, there's, you get like hurt or harm or something. There's a few of them, but they're not great.
So he's like, yeah, I want to do something like that, but it's all Astromax. And I was like, oh dear God. But yeah, I'm super pumped for it. It's also set in the Clone Wars.
So if anybody isn't super deep into Star Wars, Astromax are R2-D2s. Right. Yes. So you imagine a squad of four R2-D2s on a battlefield duking it out with like,
hey, they done whatever. Clone Wars filler episodes with those. So
that's great.
Literally.
That's
great.
Fun. Those are some of the best episodes of the Clone
Wars. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the best thing about this game is it's set during the Clone Wars, which is most Star Wars games are not. It's typically like after the Republic fell, the Empire's alive and well, and the Emperor's ruling the galaxy. So this is really cool.
They're shooting for the millennial audience. Yes.
Absolutely they are.
Yeah.
And Anakin shows up at the end of the trailer, which threw everybody as a
like, wait, I know. What?
Yeah, go ahead, Maverick. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was very surprised by that because Zero Company has nothing to do with Anakin Skywalker or whatever. And to be honest, as a Star Wars fan, I'm like, he as much as I love Anakin Skywalker and that he's going to be in this game, I'm with the minority, or I haven't exactly looked into it yet, but I don't think he belongs in this because there's a customizable Jedi character that I'm like really pumped for. But at the same time, I'm like, it's Anakin Skywalker. It's Clone Wars Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
No, it's like Revenge of the Sith Anakin.
Yes.
If you look at his robes, it's Revenge of the Sith. So
yeah, which makes no sense.
Which I don't want to make this go into a whole ordeal.
Yeah. So. Well, I guess we'll have to wait for the game to come out and see how do they justify it and how does it work, right? I mean, we could jump to conclusions and go, well, it doesn't seem like it's going to work, but
it comes out August.
Let's see. Yeah. So August, very soon. Very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Very cool. Well, let's open this up. Anybody else have any Star Wars? Are you a Star Wars fan, Jeremy?
I am a Star Wars fan, but here's my one thing. Is it going to be considered canon?
Yes. All Star Wars games, everything.
The most important question for anyone who's listened to any of our shows. Yeah. But is it canon?
Will it be canon?
Yeah.
Yes. Everything under since 2014 and on has always been considered canon going forward.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Thank you.
So
actually, I didn't know that either.
Interesting.
Ever since Disney took over the franchise and streamlined it, because not to get in a rabbit hole,
this could become a whole new episode.
Things, but yeah, that's go listen to my show.
Yeah. I'm sure you've explained. In fact, that's the whole point of your show is like, okay, this is the original lore. This is the new lore. This is how they're similar. This is how they're different. Right. So Star Wars canon versus Legends. That's the word. I always forget the word they use for like, no, it's the old lore and it's the new lore, like, but canon Legends. All right. Sebastian, Star Wars for you?
I only played the Battlefront games, and I remember playing them on like a multi-tap on a PlayStation 2 back in school. I love Star Wars so much. I love the original three and then the ones that came before one, the prequels. Two, three.
Yeah.
The prequels, that's the one. And I love them. And it's the same way everything that's been hit by Disney. There's so much content that's just kind of been dumped. Right. I can't keep up with it all. And it's like, I barely have time with everything I kind of do to, and it's a shame because I love the lore and I will be listening to the podcast 100%. You've got a new listener right here. And, but no, it's one of those. I love Star Wars games. There's just too many. It's overwhelming. But no, I'll have a watch of the trailer, and if it's something I'm into, I'll definitely give it a go. Because I do like Star Wars. It's just one of those things that the same with Marvel, everything's just so dense right now. Like after Infinity Wars and Endgame, I just lost it.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with so many things all at the same time. That is difficult. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I could get on my soapbox and talk about lore and canon and is a canon important, all of that stuff. This is something I've been saying for a little while now, but I think we're at the end of a phase, an end of a pattern in fandom where you go back 5 or 6 years to like the origins of my shows, and canon, what is and isn't canon, was extremely important because we had so many series, like you guys have been saying, Star Wars and Marvels and like comics and Fallout and anything else, where we were getting updates on things and we had such a long history with them that the question started to become, okay, but how does it fit into that history that I'm also a fan of? And a lot of people wanted to solve that problem. And I think we're starting to move past that, where I think it's healthy to go, okay, what is canon? And then to move on and go, well, regardless of what is or isn't canon, whatever they're making now can still be enjoyable, even if it is like kind of its own thing. Because traditionally in fantasy and sci-fi, that's the way it always was. Like you just follow the Terminator series. No two Terminator movies actually work in order from each other in a genuinely satisfactory way. They've all got plot holes. Follow the Alien series. They all have plot holes. You know, follow.
We've had to adapt.
Yeah.
Sure. And yeah. It's funny because over the years, people made them work as though, you know, they're like, I was there when the scrolls were written. Right. And yes, you were.
This Zelda series.
But at this point, you know, there's 10, 20 entries. Now we've got to kind of make these work together.
Yeah.
And they don't.
It gets kind of ridiculous to be like, well, it's supposed to, and so it should. And it's like, yeah, I get that. But also.
Mostly.
But also, these were written decades apart by completely different people with different intentions, with different audiences. They're not all going to match. And to assume that they will is like, it's like assuming that you could teach your dog math. No, you just can't teach a dog math. Like, you just can't. So maybe just accept that your dog likes to fetch a ball and be happy with it, you know? Like,
it's almost like from a solo creator, that's the original concept. But when things get bigger and they get more people involved in them, they become their own entity.
Right.
And once they're their own entity, they belong to the world and the universe and that kind of concept. And it's the same with Lord of the Rings and the Rings of Power. The original creator is gone, and now it's, do you want more of this? Because we all love it, and these people deep diving into all Tolkien's work and then trying to expand it because it makes money.
Right. And on top of it, I can talk from the Tolkien perspective on this. Absolutely. There are holes in the things that he's explained. There are things that he wasn't even satisfied with his own answers, and he never finished explaining them. And that's normal. And then it's also normal for people who write fan fiction or people who actually create content in any way to want to fill in those holes. And so they write stories to fill in the holes. Does that mean those stories are canon? Well, it's not the original creator. So that's kind of a non-question, you know? Like,
and yet the current, you know, controller of the series tends to be the arbiter. But appendices, apocrypha, expanded universes, like these things happen. And what is and isn't canon can be deemed to be so over time, it changes.
Right. Yeah. Or like a lot of us play Fallout 76, right? And it's like, oh, well, now they have New Vegas armor in Fallout 76, even though those events didn't happen until almost 200 years later and all of this kind of thing. And it's like, guys, it's for fun. It's a game. Yeah.
Fun happens. Fun is important. And I like to say anything in the Atomic Shop, like stuff written in the game, I take as canon, but anything in the Atomic Shop is just extra. Anything we do, just like our characters in games, no, it's not real.
Right. Like, not everything not everything has to fit into the one canon bucket. And therefore, if it doesn't, it's bad. It's like, yeah, but it could just be for fun. And that's okay, too. You know? Anyway, I'll get off my little soapbox there. But I've kept you guys long enough. Thank you for joining me. This is always fun to get everybody together and to nerd out about the things. All of the things that you have mentioned are now things on my list. And I'm like, okay, I got to look more into that. And some of them are coming out very soon. I would also love to hear from any of our listeners on any of the shows, whatever feed you're listening to this episode on, because it's going to go out on each of our feeds. Comment or jump in our Discord and let us know what you're looking forward to. And who knows, maybe you'll find some other people to jump in and play games with as well. That could happen. But here, let's go in order and feel free to just remind people who you are, how they can check out your shows, and we'll just quickly go through the list. Sebastian, so glad you were able to make this work. I know it's the middle of the night for you. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to meet all of you for the first time properly. And Jeremy, it's been great to hear your voice sometime. And no, but it's been a really good experience for me. And obviously, I'm new to this journey. I'm part of the Rocket Club. And if you want to check me out, it is the One Piece Lorecast. We talk all things One Piece and deep dive into the lore and help build this world for people who may be new. And if you want to check out my personal wrestling page, that is also on Instagram at Sebastian Cloud. And no, I've just really enjoyed this. And thank you for having me. And I am going to go to bed very soon.
Shattered. All right, get some sleep. Thank you for joining us. Jeremy, how can people find your stuff?
Well, everybody but Sebastian, because he can't hear me.
He knows you're talking about him. He can feel it.
Hi, my name is Jeremy Geiser. I run the Dungeons and Dipshits and the Tism Talks podcasts here on the Rocket Club. You can find me on either one of those podcasts. You can follow all of our social medias. We pretty much have everything set up now. And Tism Moments on YouTube. Dungeons and Dipshits Season 2 is coming out within 2 weeks.
Very soon.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be pretty much the revival. So 2 weeks from the 14th of June 26.
Yeah, as we record this right now. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, good luck with that. That sounds exciting. If you're into fun, wacky D&D stuff, then this might be the show for you. Thanks for joining us, Jeremy. And don't worry, Sebastian, you didn't say anything too bad. Maverick, how can people check out what you're doing?
Well, I'm Maverick. I co-host the Fallout Roundtable discussion podcast. They can find us on YouTube, the Fallout Roundtable. If you want to go, Twitter, at Fallout RTB. If you want to email us ideas or just something you want to talk about, you want to hear us talk about, you can also send us an email, falloutrtb@gmail.com. And we record live Thursday nights on Twitch around 8:30-ish.
Okay. So people can jump in the live streams and comment on your discussions as you have them. Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool.
And yeah.
So Fallout Roundtable, just again, if you're interested in that, go check it out. Yep. Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Maverick. And then Ben, you've got a whole list of stuff. Can you give them all the list again?
Yeah, so I am Brandon, or also known as Ben of Temeria. I am one of the hosts of the plethora of shows, the Dragon Ball Lorecast, Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Gundam Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast. Yes, I know. I get someone counting every single time on these shows. It's normally Lotus.
It's more than three, so we have to keep count.
It's more than three.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun. I live stream Dragon Ball as well as Final Fantasy, so you can check those live on my Twitch at Ben and Tamaria on Twitch, as well as, you know, checking out on the Discord on the Robots Radio and my own Discord, Ben and Friends Podcasting.
There you go. Awesome. Thanks, Ben. And then Jessica, you're wrapping it up.
This has been so much fun, y'all. Thanks so much. It's great to meet some of you, put faces to the voices that I've heard, and others see you again, you know, outside of Discord and the usual places. If you want to follow me, I'm at Sleep is 4T on all the socials. That's Twitter, that's Blue Sky, Jessica Star XP on Twitch and Insta, and just, you know, Jessica Star, Fallout, Jessica Star, Starfield, you'll find me. Right now, doing the Starfield Lorecast. Next episode you'll hear when this comes out will be a discussion on the Red Mile. With my boy, Pedro. We're going to talk about him starting StarCon. He's the organizer of StarCon and a few other things that he's working on. And then, of course, the Red Mile, which is a pretty cool location with a lot of history to it. So it's fun to get into.
Fun stuff.
Fallout feed. And I just want to quickly add, the game I'm looking forward to most coming out next is Blood of Dawnwalker. I'm excited for that one. I hope some of you all play it.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe we should keep a list on the Discord where we put in the other ones that we didn't get to talk about, and then people can join us. I mean, here's what I'll do. I'll share some of the ones that I've got on my list, and if you guys want to chime in, we'll put them in like the All Games section. There's an All Games channel on the Robots Radio Discord. So anybody who's listening, who's like, yeah, but I wanted to hear the other ones they were going to bring up, you can go in there. You can look at the list of games that we each are absolutely chomping at the bit, I guess would be the right phrase, to actually get to play these and see what they're like. So Jess, thanks for joining, and for the other suggestion. Yeah.
Never been a better time to play video games, y'all.
Yeah, so many things coming out. And I'm Tom, or Robots. I, again, run the network. The Fallout Lorecast, Elder Scrolls Lorecast, Lord of the Rings Lorecast, and Retro Recall. So if you're into the lore of those things, or want to hear me and John from the 40K Lorecast play games we haven't played in 30 years and see if they still hold up, come join us on Retro Recall. Also, you can, of course, join us on the network if you'd like. Like I mentioned at the beginning, come join us as part of the Rocket Club. I'll help you launch your show and give you some tips about making it actually work and building an audience and all of that stuff. But there you go. I've got stuff on my list too, but I'm just going to save it. I'm going to post it on the Robots Radio Discord. And listeners, thank you for being here. Thank you for hanging out with us for the summer crossover episode. All of our shows will be back probably in the next week or whenever the next episode comes out with another regular episode. But thanks for hanging out with us for this one, and have a wonderful summer. And again, don't be strangers. Let us know what you're playing and what you're having fun time doing. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.